You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on this week's RedCafe.net podcast, recorded before Wayne Rooney decided to sign a 5-year contract extension, the boys discussed the Rooney situation, whether he should stay and whether he should go. We also have a unique reserve review, and we also welcome Stoke fan James Whittaker from ESPN SoccerNet.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the RedCafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and yes, as usual, I am joined by Dan and Dov. Guys, what an incredible last 7 days it has been. How are you both? Wayne Rooney aside, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Recovered from watching the game last night and freezing my manhood off. Which wasn't pleasant. They are still attached, but, you know, it's the way it goes.
I was just going to say that your manhood is not the first thing I want to hear when I speak to you on the phone or anything to do with it.
Well, we have some lady listeners. I think they might be interested. Oh, you never know.
Let's move it on from there. Dov, how are you doing this week?
I'm gobsmacked. But other than that, I'm all right. Starting to get a wee bit chilly here. But
well, I'll Skype you a photo if you want.
Let's move it swiftly on again. Gobsmacked is a pretty apt way of putting it, really. I guess you're referring to the one and only talking point of this week, really.
Dan?
Let's get straight into it. Wayne Rooney, obviously, it's astonishing, really surprising, shocking. All the sort of adjectives you can think of to describe it just don't go anywhere near to sort of summon it up, really. But let's start. Dan, let's start with, all right, Rooney's come out. He said he wants to go. Sir Alex Ferguson's obviously confirmed he wants to go. I mean, for you, I want your thoughts on it all. And I want to know, do you think that's the decision done? That's everything sealed and delivered, really. There's no turning back and he's on his way.
Well, I don't know. Ferguson seems to have left the door open, as he said a few times after he came out with an initial conference. But I can't see a possibility where Rooney can, you know, stay now. I can't see him pulling on a United shirt again. And especially at Old Trafford, I don't think he would want to do that either. But you never know. I mean, apparently there were some plans to meet today, wasn't there? And United have issued a little statement just confirming what's gone on. But I mean, you never know, really. If United were to sign somebody in January, then who knows? Rooney might say, well, I'll stay now. You clearly show ambition if that's why he wants to leave. But I've got concerns that's rubbish about ambition. How can United not have ambition?
Dov, Dan says there, I mean, he doesn't see any way back in terms of sort of the fans accepting him again. I mean, if he was to turn around tomorrow and say, look, I made a big mistake with what I said, I've been reassured now that we can compete at the highest level, and I'm deeply sorry and I want to play for United. I mean, do you think there is a slight way back for him, or are you thinking now it's all been said now and we just have to move on, really?
The Champions League game really said everything. Things like Colleen forgave you, we won't, who's the whore now, when, etc. Things like that. I think if he did play at Old Trafford again, then he'd have to be taken off. It just wouldn't work. The fans clearly have sort of voiced their opinion. They've had it with him. He's burned all his bridges with them. With regard to Ferguson, I think he's maybe not left the door open. He's maybe left that ajar a little bit, so it's not fully open. But I don't think he'll be. I just don't think he'll ever be back. And the fans wouldn't have it. I don't know about you two guys, but I don't think you would have it much either. And I think he'll be on his bike, quite frankly.
I mean, it is an interesting point. There's so many points to discuss, and we've got quite a few emails to get through as well, as you'd expect. But James McAllister, I mean, he points out should he play again in terms of would you utilise, if Rooney was back to his form and back on his game, I mean, even if he's come out and said he wants to go, I mean, would you still utilise his ability? Would you still play him, or would you leave him on the bench until January and then say, right, let's get rid of him now? And it's a tricky one for Ferguson, isn't it? I mean, how do you think he's gonna play that card?
Personally, I think Fergie will leave him out completely. I can't see the players accepting him as well, because I mean, if he's saying that the club's lacking ambition, which I'm agreeing with Dan there, that there's not a lacking ambition, so he must be having a dig at the players, maybe just saying, well, they're not good enough. And if you say, if indirectly saying something like that, then why would they want to play in the same team as them? So they're just, so again, I don't see how that would work. Taking it from a personal level, if I was Sir Alex Ferguson, I would have him just sort of go and train with the reserves, train with the youth players, just out of sight, out of mind sort of thing, and then in January you can go.
There's a number of options, isn't there? I mean, he's obviously got a contract until, I think it's 2012, isn't it? Seems unthinkable, but I mean, you leave him literally just to sit in the reserves until his contract expires, and then you let him go for free. I guess that's not really an option in terms of wanting to get an investment out of it. But yeah, in terms of getting rid of him in January, if that was to be the case, Dan, I mean, there's obviously going to be plenty of clubs interested. But I mean, realistically, where do you see him going? Would it be Manchester City and the money on offer? Would it be get away abroad just to be away from England, basically, and away from the undoubted abuse he's going to get whenever he returns or comes anywhere near Old Trafford? I mean, what's the next turn really for Rooney for you? Where does he go from here?
Whoever bids the highest amount of money, simple as that. And it's going to be City, because United, obviously we know about the situation, you know, they can't turn down the highest bidder. But saying that though, I can't imagine Rooney would actually leave for City, you know, after playing for United for, what is it, 6 years now, scored a hatful of goals, and I can't see how he would want to play for Man City. I mean, if he went to, you know, like we're saying, if he went to Chelsea and he stated he wanted to win the championship and stuff, then I can understand that, because Chelsea have been in and around it for the last few years, and obviously in Europe as well, they're pretty close to winning it, if you ask me. So that would be a logical move for him from United. But to go to City, who haven't won anything in, what, 35 years, and then just to presume that they're going to start winning things is it's stupid, absolutely stupid. You know, just like we can't say at United, you know, we're going to win the league, you know, two times in the next sort of 6 years. You can't guarantee anything, can you? Because anything can happen. I'm dumbfounded by it. I don't really know what to think, because I just don't know how he can suddenly change his mind from one thing sort of like, you know, 4 months ago to this now.
And Dov, sort of entitled to do this really as the presenter of the pod, as much as I don't want to, but if you were to find any way of siding with Rooney, I mean, you look at the statement he's made, he's clearly, as we've said, he's questioned the ambition of the club, he wasn't given assurances, so he says, from David Gill, with regards to the future squad and the club basically not being able to, in his opinion, attract the world-class players that we used to be able to. I mean, is he completely wide off the mark with a statement like that, comments like that? Or, I mean, obviously that there's a lot of hatred towards him for the way he's come out and said it and the timing of it and the sort of lack of respect, really. But can you side with him at all and see any sort of truth in what he said?
Well, he's trying to make himself out as to be kind of a victim of the regime, if you like, you say at least, kind of trying to look for support with the fans. So with the anti-Glazer movement, things like that, talking about the lack of ambition, which that would ring, ring a lot of fans would sort of agree with that. But how is, again, what Dan said, how is he, like, how is David Gill meant to say, oh yeah, we're going to sign Wesley Snyder, we're going to bring Ronaldo back, we're going to sign Fernando Torres? How is he meant to know that that's going to happen?
Is that not what a club like Real Madrid, for example, Manchester City at the moment, they seem to be able to say that, oh, we're going to buy, like Madrid do every season? Or is that just Madrid being an exceptional case, really, because that's the Galactico culture?
That's kind of what they do, that, like, mainly when they've got the presidential elections and things like that, because the presidents change of, like, quite often. They say we're going to sign X, Y, and Z to get elected, whereas you're at a club at United that's stable, essentially. It's like you've got a manager who's been there for years, a chief executive who doesn't look like he's going to go anywhere soon. There's stability there, so they don't need to come out and say we're going to buy him and him. And if that's what Wayne Rooney wants, then somebody needs to tell him that's not quite how it works. Because I mean, United have never came out and said, right, we're going to buy him, we're going to buy him, we just do it if we are going to buy players. So I don't really know what he wants.
Sorry to interrupt, though, but it's just interesting as well. I mean, you look at Chelsea, since that crop of players they brought in sort of around the Mourinho, Ranieri era, they haven't really splashed out the mega bucks, have they? Even with Abramovich there for the last few seasons, they've improved their squad here and there. I mean, you look at someone like Malouda. I mean, he's come in, he's been a fantastic player for them. But at the start, he wasn't, was he? Everyone questioned him. I guess you could say similar sort of buy with someone like Antonio Valencia. He's come in and arguably got things to prove at the highest level for someone like Man United. But someone like that, I believe, is steadily going to come good. So I just can't understand where the ambition thing. I mean, we've won 3 titles in a row. We nearly won a 4th consecutive title, which has never been done before. It's crazy, really. But Dan, what about the role of the agent, Paul Stretford? It's been well documented before how he sort of influenced Rooney's career. Do you think he's sort of been in contact with the likes of Man City? He knows a contract of 300,000, whatever figure you want to bandy about. Do you think that's played a big role in sort of turning his head and wanting him to move away?
Of course it has, but that's what the agent's job is, though, you know, to look for the best deal for his client. You know, that's why Rooney pays him, so I'm not laying any blame on, well, there's partially, obviously, because he's obviously gone behind the club's back. But at the same time, you know, that, like I just said, that's what he's paid for. If I was an agent of Wayne Rooney, and Wayne Rooney comes to me and says, oh, you know, I want to move, then it's up to the agent to find his club, no matter how much money people are offering. The only issue I would raise with it is if he's told Wayne Rooney, listen, you can get 300 grand a week here or whatever if you move. That's the only things I'd say about it.
Yeah, it looks like it's a bit more like that, because like Steve mentioned earlier on, last season, it was all United for life, yeah, I'm going to beat this club forever, things like that. And then how does that change in 2 or 3 months? Obviously, yeah. Somebody said something to him, like, right, okay, you could triple your wages here, and look who they're buying. They're buying X, Y, and Z. They're buying everybody. They've got all this money. Like, another thing as well, regarding his contract, I mean, he's £150,000 a week, or I think that's what they were offering him. I can't remember the last time he had a good game. It was like 6-7 months ago. So surely when you're negotiating a new contract, if you want more money, which he obviously if you're in a bad run of form, you get out there on a form, and then you can go, look how good I am, look what I can do.
Yeah, I mean, if he'd have negotiated this contract sort of like, you know, in sort of December, January last year, fine, give him 150 grand a week. But, you know, like you're saying, he was rubbish for England at the World Cup. He's not had a good 6 months. All these off the field things as well. You know, why would Man United? I mean, I know they obviously want to keep him, but it all comes together in one thing. And I just think there's something not right somewhere. Something's gone on somewhere, either at United behind the scenes, where it's all kicked off or whatever. Or, like you say, the agents or Wayne Rooney just thought, you know, I want more money. I can't see any other reason for it. Because, like you just brought up then, you know, it was only a few months ago he was saying he wants to be like Ryan Giggs and Paul Scholes, and he signed a contract extension wherever the club wanted to. And it's just odd how it's just all suddenly changed. And I just don't know where he's coming from, really. I don't get it at all. He's using the Glazer thing and all the squad thing as a bit of a, you know, it's a smokescreen for just wanting more money, in my opinion.
I think it's a plausible point, Dan. But looking ahead, I mean, if he was to go, which it does look like is going to be the case, Dov, how do you go about replacing someone like Wayne Rooney? Do you splash out on a big-name player, or would you be more inclined to sort of put trust in this supposedly not very good squad we have at the moment?
He's got 7 strikers in that squad now, well, 6 when Rooney goes. Again, I think this has got a lot more to it than what's been meeting eye. Obviously, I can't remember the last time we had 7 strikers in the squad. So I think maybe one of them are going to come through. Makeda, I think, is maybe one. Hernandez is another who could sort of make a first-team spot their own. The money will have to be used, one, to appease their fans, and that will be needed. And I think if they're going to buy a player, it should be a creative midfielder type. Wesley Snyder's having contract negotiations at Inter right now. Put in a bid for him. I think it's a player like that, instead of just buying a direct replacement, buy somewhere where the actual squad and the team needs it.
But why would Wesley Snyder want to come to United, though, if Rooney leaves? Is he going to really want to play behind Federico Makeda? He's not, let's be fair. Come on.
Fair at all. Why not? Yeah, why not, Dan? Manchester United are a massive club.
Did you see Makeda last night?
You know, he's young, he's not had many first-team games. You get him into the team, give him a season or two. What if he does break through? You got Hernandez looks to be like a quality player.
He's arguably one of the best players in the world at this point, right? Why would he leave Inter Milan and come to Manchester United when we've not got any talisman anymore once Rooney goes? We've nobody. Who do you look at in that squad and think, oh, you know, they're going to be good for the next sort of 3-4 years? So, I can't see it. Who? Name me someone.
I see the point Dan's making, as if you, it's sort of like if Rooney doesn't feel like the club's going anywhere, why should a European superstar look at Man United and think, well, if Rooney thinks that, I should think that as well. But no, it's interesting as well. I mean, if we were to sell Rooney, Dan, I mean, Ferguson would have to buy, wouldn't he? Because otherwise, you're proving Rooney's point in a way. If you don't go out and spend that cash on a big-name player, Rooney's won, really, isn't he? Because at the end of the day, he'll say, well, the money's been pushed into helping easing the debt problems, and point proven, really. So I think if he is to go, Ferguson has to go out and buy probably not even one, two or three big-name players, to even just to prove Rooney wrong, really.
Yeah, but can we do that, though? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. From an honest point of view, I can see why Rooney, if he is hiding behind this squad thing, that he can actually be right. And like you say, you know, it'll be proven in the summer once we know what we're doing with it. Because if you look at it from Rooney's point of view, you know, we've lost players like Tevez, Ronaldo. Obviously, Giggs and Scholes are going to be leaving pretty shortly. And he's justified in what he's saying if we don't bring anybody in. But like I've just said before, who's going to join Man United? You know, who would want to when there might be other clubs looking at him? And especially with someone like Snyder, there's going to be other clubs looking at him, not just United. So we've got to have an advantage somewhere. And if we've not got the money to offer the wages, and we've not got any superstar players to work with, then why would Wesley Snyder or Benzema or Kaká, all these names I've heard mentioned, or Torres even, why would he come to United?
Because it's Manchester United, Dan. Wayne Rooney's not Manchester United.
They're
the biggest club in the world. Who wouldn't want
to
play for
them? To me and you, they are. But, you know, to Wesley Snyder, they're probably not. He's probably looking at it, we're in the same bracket of, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know, Chelsea, Liverpool. It's the same sort of bracket, isn't it?
I think, and Dov, you have to look at it as well. Probably not the same. Well, it's clearly not. Let me get my point in, Dan. It's clearly not the same as Barcelona. But look at Messi. Rooney's obviously not at the moment in the same class as Messi. But if Messi was to suddenly turn around and say, I'm leaving Barcelona because I've not been given assurances that Barcelona are going to be able to buy the best players in the world and that we're not going to be able to compete. Obviously, they've got players like Iniesta, Xavi, the list goes on. They've got world-class players at the moment. But if he was to turn around and say that and leave, do you think Barcelona would still be able to buy world-class players, even though their talisman has turned around and said they've got no ambition, they're not going anywhere, I wanted to leave?
Yeah, of course they would. They're Barcelona. This is one of the biggest teams in the world. Of course they can buy players. And even then, if Ferguson could go to anybody and just go, well, we've been in two Champions League finals in the last few years, all of the Premier League titles have won 3 in a row, 1 point behind Chelsea last season. You know, it's not as if like suddenly we're just going to fall away, because we're not. One man doesn't make it. It's a team game. It's 11 men. Not one man, it's 11 men. And Alex Ferguson, and we've got one of the best managers in the world as well. There's just a stability there. So
yeah, but I can't
see.
Yeah, that's another thing to factor in. How long are we going to be able to rely on Ferguson?
I think one thing about this, I think this will stop Ferguson retiring for the foreseeable future, because one, what you were talking about being really being proved wrong by buying players, but he'll maybe be like, well, right, I'm going to stay and make this last great team. I'm going to make another great team. Even if it takes me to my grave, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to show him. And with buying players, I have no issues like with that. I think we can get more or less anybody we want in the world if they become available.
Okay, let's break off and take some listener comments, some emails, and Facebook messages. As we've had so many, I think we'll just do a run through of what everyone's sort of been having to say. Suhaib, I think I've hopefully pronounced that right. They've said that Rooney, he should leave now, get rid of him now. And they've even said they'd terminate his contract if it wasn't for the debt problems, just to get rid of him. Eddie Umana, he says he sees him definitely going. He's gone off the boil. Gavin McGrath, he's bitterly disappointed, but he says it's time to let him go. But he does say that he hopes Rooney will regret it in the end if he does leave. It's happened so many times, isn't it? You've seen players move on and the grass often isn't always greener. So we'll see. Stuart Horton, he's saying, like we've said, Dov particularly has said this, no player obviously bigger than the club. And he said that we've coped as well when players have left in the past. Obviously, Van Nistelrooy, Ronaldo, Beckham, Cantona, that they all seem to spring to mind. Tudy says they want him out, definitely want him out now, but not to City, anyone but City. So that's a fair point, definitely. Matthew Forrest, who I believe is behind our fantastic jingles on the show, he says that in his position, in his job, he'd be sacked for the kind of conduct and lack of respect, really, that Rooney's shown. And again, he brings up the point that better players, bigger players, have left in the past and we've coped. Jonathan Dineen, he says that Rooney's clearly shown no respect to the club, to the fans, to Ferguson. We've made him effectively the world-class player he is today. He's greedy and he just doesn't deserve to be at United after what he said. Ben Bunnell, let him go, get rid of him. He even sees him at Chelsea in January, said that he could arguably understand if he was to go to Chelsea. And he says, interestingly, that he'd bring in the Tottenham trio of Gareth Bale, Luka Modric and Jermaine Defoe. He'd bring those three in. And finally, Vishnu Shari talks about a fee of he'd be looking to receive around 50 or 55 million for him at the moment, or perhaps 40 million plus a player. And he even mutes a Torres swap deal, which I'm sure we might be quite happy to take at the moment, given what's been going on. But no, plenty of issues raised there, guys. I think we need to end it sort of now and try and move on to something else in the pod. But just want to pose the final sort of question to both of you. Dov, as it is at the moment, I mean, just to sum up, would you sell him as soon as possible in January and get as high a fee as you can, whoever the bidder is? Would you let him rot in the reserves, see his contract out until 2012 when he's arguably lost his talent completely, and just sort of teach him a lesson, if you like? Or I guess the final option, if there is any way of trying to persuade him to change his mind, admit he was sorry and stay at Manchester United, I mean, which out of those three is the most plausible option, and which one would you take?
Obviously, you put me on the spot there, Steve. I would definitely get rid of him in January. I think in January he's got to go. I wouldn't sell him for the highest fee, though. What I would probably try and move him abroad if we could, like, not sell him to a direct rival in the Premier League, i.e. Manchester City or Chelsea. I'd hopefully Real Madrid will see him as a sort of global superstar and be sort of too tempted not to put a bid in and see if you can maybe get maybe a 30 million plus a player or two from them. That would be my ideal situation, but get rid of him. It's ASAP.
Sorry, just to jump in, Dov. I mean, could that not be a plausible sort of bargaining chip, really, for Ferguson? Can he not turn around and say, all right, you want to go, you want to leave, but we're only letting you leave abroad. We're not letting you join a Premier League rival who potentially could challenge us in the, like a Manchester City, a Chelsea. The only way we're going to let you go is if you go abroad. Is that not a fair way of putting it to Rooney?
Yeah, could to be fair, it would be something that wouldn't surprise me if he just said, right, fine, we'll let you move, but you're moving abroad. And if you don't want to move abroad, then it's fine. We'll let your contract run down and you can just not play any football for the next year and a half.
As we've seen with past events, anything can happen, can't it? It really wouldn't be a surprise if something like that were to happen. But passing it on to Dan then, I mean, out of the options I gave to Dov, I mean, what would finally be your decision, Dan?
I don't know, really. It all depends on the attitude of what Rooney wants. I mean, like, say if he comes out and says sorry or whatever, you know, I shouldn't have said I wanted to go, then fine, he can stay for all I like, but because he's a good player, you know, and we, like you say, we do need him, but it'd be hard because, I mean, I look at the comparisons, you know, when Gerrard wanted to leave Liverpool, he changed his mind. I think we have all heard the rumours what happened, but, you know, I think that Liverpool fans still like Gerrard and still love Gerrard for deciding to stay and being loyal. I think if Rooney decided to do that, I think that everyone would just be happy that he's decided to stay, but he'd obviously have a lot to prove as well because he'd have to go out there and get 30 goals a season like he did last year.
Honestly, Dan, do you honestly think if he decided that he wanted to stay, he would be accepted back at Old Trafford?
Well, it depends, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of players have always come out and said, you know, people have arguments all the time about, you know, players' loyalties and things like that, and they must argue with the managers a lot as well. So behind the scenes, you don't know what goes on, but I don't see any reason why, if Rooney came out and said, listen, I want to stay, I was an idiot, I want to prove to everyone that I'm a proper footballer, you know, I'm not a greedy so-and-so, and I've sacked my agent, and I love Fergie, I love United, I think that football fans are very fickle, though. You know, it's like us. Everyone, you read the message boards now on Red Cafe and everything, and there's a lot of swearing going on, and there's a lot of unrest, and everyone's just suddenly hated him when, you know, Monday they didn't. They just thought, oh, what's wrong with his form? So, you know, a lot of things can change, and I won't be surprised if Rooney does stay.
I agree, Dan. I agree, because you look back. I know it's a completely different situation, but look at Ronaldo and Rooney at the World Cup when Ronaldo got him sent off. You look at that back then, everyone was baying for Ronaldo's blood, sort of saying, why has he done that to a fellow teammate and stuff like that. And he slowly, I know it's a completely different situation really, but he worked his way back into the team, and he gained the trust of the fans again, he gained the trust of Rooney again. And similarly, I think if Rooney comes out and apologises and says my head was turned by mega money that was on offer at other clubs, yeah, I think he would be accepted again. He'd have to prove himself again, but we all know he's got definitely the ability to do that. So
with the Ronaldo thing, though, Dov, I mean, there is interesting comparisons. You know, I've not really thought about that before, so it's a good point. And it's the fact that, you know, Ferguson had to sort of, well, he probably had to persuade Ronaldo to stay, and you know, we got the world's best player for 3 years after that. You know, I don't. Ferguson's been very clever in this press conference by putting it all on Wayne Rooney. Something must have happened where they have fallen out, because you don't just change your mind like that. So he's put all the pressure on Rooney now, as if to say, well, you know, if you want to stay, there'll be an offer there if you want it. And if he makes Rooney feel a bit sorry for himself and feel a bit guilty, then Rooney might well stay. So it's hard to judge, you don't know what's going to happen. But
I think there's still a long way to go, I think there's still a lot to be decided. Although it seems black and white, Rooney's come out and said he wants to go, Ferguson said he can go. I think still a lot to be played out. We'll try and move it on. I'm sure we might even come back to Rooney at some stage a bit later on.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
There were actually two games played in the last 7 days, guys. I don't know if you're aware of that. Dan, you surely were, because you were at one last night. Of course, the 1-0 victory over Bursaspor in the Champions League. Dan, that leaves us 2 points clear now at the top of the group, ahead of Rangers. So what did you make of that? Personally, I thought it was indifferent, really, an indifferent performance. But I suppose with what's been going on with Rooney, it was just good to get the 3 points and come away with a result.
It was, yeah. But when I entered the ground, I thought, you know, oh, let's thump these, you know, 4-5-0 if we can, put a strong team out. Then you read the squad and you think, what is he playing at here, Fergie? You know, and Rooney, just bringing back Rooney again. You know, Rooney was seeing that on TV and thought, is this serious? You know what I mean? Is he trying to wind me up? Obviously, we expected to win that game comfortably. We did win it, didn't really. I think we only had one shot, which was in the last minute. No, I mean, it was indifferent, like you say, ins and outs, and a few players shone, but a lot of them didn't really step up. I thought that Rafael was very good down the right-hand side, getting forward well, using his pace very well as well. I thought Anderson did okay, but he had no one to give the ball to up front. I thought Makeda was absent most of the game. You know, I know he's young, like you say, Dov, but he played last year against Besiktas, I think it was, at Old Trafford, and did absolutely nothing. And he's done nothing again when he's got a 90 minutes as well. I think the jury's out on Makeda, but you know, I still hope that he turns into a good player, because, you know, you want young players to succeed, don't you?
And I mean, Dov, as Dan says there, I mean, is it all the more disappointing, the fact that people like Makeda, I know, as we've said, he's young, but the likes of experienced players like Park, Carrick, they didn't really step up, did they? I know you can say a lot of that maybe was because Rooney was on the back of the mind, but there was a chance there, wasn't there? As Dan said, he was open to see United go out and smash a team. Yeah, they're the Turkish champions. They're a decent outfit, but we should be able to go out and thump them, really, shouldn't we? And it just didn't happen.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought something like that, I thought there would have been a reaction from the players and something like that would have happened. But, I mean, it was a decent performance. And to be fair, at this stage of the Champions League, all I really care about is getting the 3 points.
Really?
What else do you need, Dan? All you need is to get the points, to get top of the to get a good draw.
You need some form to go into the latter stages if you're going to do anything in the Champions League. Form is key, especially, you know, if we get drawn in the second round against a big team. Well, you know, if we've no confidence and no form, then I can't see a way are we going to win. Against Rangers at home, right, we couldn't even break Rangers down. I know they played everyone behind the ball and all that rubbish, but come on, we're Man United, and the team, the players that we had on that pitch should be able to score a few goals against Rangers. You know, they showed absolutely no attacking anything. You've got to be able to break these teams down. We won 1-0 against Bursaspor, who Valencia thumped 4-0. You know, Rangers beat them only 1-0, and everyone's saying how rubbish Rangers are. So
Rangers are a well-organised side.
How would Rangers do in the Premier League? They wouldn't do very well. because teams...
That's irrelevant. What I'm saying is Rangers are a well-organised side, and like you say, they put 10 men behind the ball. That's hard to break down that, right? You say we're Man United, we should be able to do it, but if you've got 10 men behind the ball, it's going to be difficult for you.
Yeah, but you've got... I mean, even the Rangers game, we didn't even... If you've got 10 men behind the ball or whatever, like you're saying, yeah, you've got to be able to find a way around it. You switch the play a few times. You go out to the wings. You mix it up. All we did that night was just try and go down the centre, lay it off to Gibson, have a shot. That's all we did. There was no tactical nous there whatsoever. It was so frustrating to see.
You want to see chances created, don't you? And yeah, even if you don't score goals, you want to be able to see that we're taking the game to a team.
Hypothetically, if Nani hadn't scored that goal early on last night, could you see us breaking them down as the game got on? Because I couldn't. Because the crowd would have got frustrated. I mean, it was dead anyway. There was no atmosphere whatsoever. The Turkish fans were up. That's the only singing you could hear. It was quite bad.
Dov, I mean, let's talk about the game on the weekend then. The Premier League draw with West Brom at home. 2-0 up at half-time. Another 2-goal lead surrendered. What do you make of that? How do you go to explain what happened there?
Edwin van der Sar? No. Watching the game, I mean, we just look so, like, for me, it stems for the midfield problems. We look so lightweight in midfield and really easily sort of breached. I mean, there's a couple of times where sort of West Brom just sort of walked through the middle of the park and just walked through and then had a shot or got into the box, and that's not right. That shouldn't be happening, and that should be sorted out. Like, Nani was fantastic. Nani's really, really stepped up. He was fantastic. Anderson, it looked all right, but he still looked really sort of short of match fitness. But I think once he gets back to some sort of level of fitness and sort of gets more game time, I think he's going to come on. He really looks like, I don't know if we mentioned that last week about two, but it looks like he's more hungry than what he has been before.
In regards to the game, though, like you said, Dov, a weak midfield, but when you look at the names, who is there to create anything? This is what I'm harking back to about the Rangers game and last night. There's just nothing there.
Well, so much to discuss, but we'll move it on as we really are sort of struggling for time. I don't even know if... Can we do a Cabbage in Player of the Week this week? Is it really quite obvious?
We should just do a Player of the Week, I think, because everybody knows who the Cabbage is.
All right, then. We'll stick to a Player of the Week, then. Who would it be for you, then, Dov?
Nani. He was fantastic against West Brom, I thought, and then got the winner against Bristol Sport with a good goal. So I mean, he's been a real shining light in a week of bad news.
I have to agree. For those exact reasons. Do you notice with his celebration as well? I don't know if you saw, he sort of patting his chest and banging the badge, really sort of showing the fans.
Steve, give over. There's a picture of Rooney kissing the badge in Goodison Park, a United badge. It irritates me. Why do they do that, players? Why do they do it? They just open themselves up to so much ridicule. I see what you're saying, though.
After having such a bad day of Rooney coming out and giving the statement, I think that was a tiny bit of a lift, even if it was, like you say, you can only take it with a pinch of salt, really.
I'd have loved it if Nani had a vest on or something like Rooney Who or something like that. He's got, that'd be brilliant. But
yeah. Who's your player of the week then? Nani as well or someone else?
Well, yeah, I think Nani's been very good, but I think I might give it to Raphael. I thought he was very good last night. Yeah, I thought he was sound. Yeah, good.
Did play well against West Brom as well, didn't he?
Yeah, no, it didn't do anything wrong, really. And there was a moment last night as well where they were one-on-one with Kujak and he raced all the way back and he got his foot in. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to Raphael.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Right then, well, it's reserves review time now, and I'm going to hand over to Dov because it's a slightly different reserves review for you this week.
So everybody, this week on Reserves Review, it's a little bit different. I've actually got a special guest. It's Nick from the United Youth website. Nick, how are you doing? And welcome to the show.
Very well, yeah. Thanks very much.
Good stuff. So you're from manunitedyouth.wordpress.com, which is, I can only say, the premier site for the youth and reserves at United. So could you just tell everybody a little bit about the site and how it sort of came about, your ideas for it?
Yeah, it was sort of inspired really by a friend of mine starting his own site for a different club who we won't mention. But I'd had the idea for a while, really, because at that sort of time, it was going back to 2008, the stuff on the official site wasn't quite as good as it is now. And that sort of just felt there was a bit of a gap there. And when my friend started his site, it sort of prompted me into start mine and fill that niche.
I have to say, it is a great site for everything youth and reserves and things like that. So we'll chat a bit about all the youngsters at United. Firstly, we'll go into maybe the youth setup in general. I mean, do you think it's as strong as it once was? Because some people actually think that it's not really producing the players that it once did.
When you compare it with the sort of the guys that came through in the early 90s, then I don't think any youth setup at any club has been as strong as that, arguably, since then. But I think it's certainly as strong as it has been over the last 10, 15 years. It's just, I think it's a lot harder to blood youngsters in the first team these days. There's so much less margin for error at the very top. So it's a lot hard to bring kids through. I don't think any of the top clubs have really brought too many through recently. Even Arsenal, they've got the reputation. They haven't brought too many genuine youngsters through their academy.
What do you think about some of the prospects we've got at the minute? There's the players like Magnus Ekram, Paul Pogba and Will Keane, who they just seem to perform sort of week in and week out for the sort of the youth teams.
Magnus Ekram, he's at the stage where he's far too good for the reserves now. Every week he shows something which shows that he's just above that level, and the club don't seem to want to send him out on loan unless the right offer comes in. So you'd hopefully he'll get a chance in the first team soon, because he needs that to push him on to the next level, really. But he's such a creative player, which is exactly the sort of player we're lacking, really. So hopefully he'll get his chance. Paul Pogba has sort of just come back from injury and just started back in to the sort of form he was in last season. He's another one who's sort of too good for the level he's playing at, really. Hopefully he'll move up from the academy to the reserves full-time over the rest of the season. And he's sort of better. I know lots of fans are excited about him and maybe hoping he might even get into the sort of Carling Cup team this year. Maybe that's a little bit too early, but he's certainly the sort of player you can understand why everyone gets excited about him. He's got pretty much everything to his game. William Keane as well, he's sort of an excellent player technically. Sort of, you don't get too many young English players coming through with that sort of technique and ability, and reminds a lot of people of Teddy Sheringham in the way he sort of plays and holds the ball up and lays the ball off and links play, and his finishing as well is outstanding.
And is there any other notable young players who, like, you've watched and you think that they could be something quite special?
Ravel Morrison is probably the obvious one. There's question marks over sort of his temperament and his attitude and whether we can develop that side of his game. But in terms of abilities, sort of second to none at the club. He's arguably the most talented young player to come through since probably Paul Scholes. Just so much ability there. It's just about harnessing it and getting him sort of playing for the team and getting his head right, really. And I'm a big fan of Ryan Tunnicliffe as well, so he doesn't really get the praise that a lot of the other sort of young talents get, but he's a great box-to-box midfielder. You don't really see too many of them these days. Sort of great engine, underrated technically, and he's sort of a leader as well, so very fiery, passionate player, and sort of the sort of players United fans love to see, really.
A couple there we shall definitely look out for. One player who's played more football in the reserves is Bebe, the summer signing who nobody knew nothing about, things like that. I've seen him on a couple of occasions. He looks like quite a sort of strong physical type of player. What are your thoughts on him and his performances for the reserve side?
Yeah, I mean, we've not seen too much of him yet, but definitely been impressed with what I've seen. You know, you could have been forgiven for like reading the Daily Mail and thinking he's just going to be hopeless, but a bit we have seen of him, you know, it's very positive, very sort of keen to attack defenders, take them on. He's very quick, strong, quite tall, so he looks like he could be good in the air. And I was quite impressed by his crossing ability as well in the games he's played. He hasn't really set up any goals yet, but there were some great deliveries in and just needed someone to get on the end of him. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from him.
Obviously, you watch a lot of academy and reserve team football. I mean, what is the best performance from one of the reserve or academy sides that you've seen this season?
This season is... That's a tricky one, really, because the season hasn't really got started.
We can go back to the last season as well, if you want. We can generally.
The best reserve performance probably that stands out is when we beat Wigan 5-4, so last year, last February, I think it was. We ended up 4-1 down and looked like we were going to get an absolute hammering, and then it was Welbeck and Makeda and Lee Martin as well sort of combined and pulled us back to 4-4, and then Makeda went and got himself sent off, but then they managed to pinch a winner as well and win it 5-4. It was incredible. It was a game that clashed with a first team game, unfortunately, so not many people saw it, but it was an incredible game, incredible comeback.
Obviously, the reserve team manager is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How do you rate him as a coach and how do you think he's doing?
You can't really fault him since he took over. It's been like getting on for 2.5 years now. He's had really tricky circumstances for a reserve manager. There's more players going out on loan than there has been previously. The fixture issues have been, like, there's less games this season, but they tend to end up, you tend to go a month without a game and then you play three in a week or something like that. And so you have to juggle all that with lots of injuries, but he's won the league, he's won every cup going a couple of times. He gets the team playing attacking football more often than not, and he's very flexible with his formations. Where he plays 4-4-2, 4-5-1, so useful bedding in for the players to get those experience with different formations. He seems very good at organising that. And I think, as well as part of his role as manager of the team, I think he's had a lot of influence on the young strikers coming through with his, obviously having his background as one of the best finishers around. I think he's brought a lot of them on.
That was nicely brought on, Nick, to the strikers in the team, the young strikers, because obviously the big news in and around Old Trafford this week is regarding Wayne Rooney. Well, can I get your thoughts on the situation first? You say, what do you think about everything that's went on?
I can see his point when he says that the squad is lacking and he's a bit worried about the future, but at the same time, it just seems a bit of a convenient excuse. I don't see what else he could really have said unless he was going to come out and say, yeah, I want more money. Ultimately, we finished second in the league by a point last year, and if you're going to start worrying about ambition 3 months further on from that, I think that's a little bit convenient, to say the least.
Very convenient indeed, and obviously we've got a plethora of young strikers obviously that are coming through as well. You've got Makeda, Welbeck, Diouf as well. Do you think any of them could fill the void left by Rooney? I know Makeda's said that he'll get a lot more playing time if Rooney does leave. So I mean, do you think they've got the potential to sort of take on that mantle?
I think Makeda and Welbeck have definitely got a chance. Not so sure on Diouf. I don't think time's really on his side. And the type of player he is, I think he could probably prosper in the Premier League, but I can't see him doing it at United. I think Makeda and Welbeck have got more of a chance. Makeda's still very inconsistent. I think there was a stat that he's started 11 games for the first team, hasn't scored. All his goals have come off the bench. But he's definitely a special talent. You can see he makes an impact on the bigger games when he comes on. He's scored some important goals. It's just a case of improving that consistency, really. I think he's a big name player, and he will excel at that level eventually. And I think Danny Welbeck's been sort of dismissed and underrated quite a lot recently. I think he got quite a bit of stick when he played against Leeds in the defeat last year, and the whole team was abysmal, and he took a lot of the stick for that. But I think he's doing quite well at Sunderland, sort of under the radar. He's excellent technically and just needs to score more goals, I think, really. But that should come in time, hopefully. And Joshua King as well is one who shouldn't go unnoticed. He's struggled a bit with injury at Preston now, but he's a really good talent. Sort of, for a while, I've been thinking he might just be the best of the young players coming, young strikers coming through. So he's got time on his side as well.
Indeed, he had quite a good season last season as well. But Nick, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Pleasure as well.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
So everybody, you know it's that time of the show where we get an opposition fan. We do it every week, and this week I'm delighted to welcome James Whittaker, who is ESPN SoccerNet Stoke City correspondent. James, welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure having you on. Obviously, there's lots of Manchester United news on every single news agency, as you can imagine, so it's been quite a busy period.
Yeah, it'd be nice to give you a bit of a break, I imagine.
Indeed, well, something a bit different at least. So obviously you're the Stoke City correspondent for ESPN SoccerNet.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you know a lot about the Potters.
I do, yeah. Lifelong Stoke fan. Come from a long line of Stoke fans. Granddad used to watch Stanley Matthews, and obviously my dad used to watch all the players of the 70s, the last time we were in the top flight. So having been born at pretty much the wrong time, and sort of watching Stoke draw around the leagues of League One, League Two, and their equivalents, it's nice to finally get a bit of time in the spotlight, I'd say.
Well, you're having a good time of it, although you've been in the spotlight recently for maybe the wrong reasons. Danny Murphy was making some comments about maybe your team being a bit too rough and being part of some sort of axis of evil in the Premier League. What are your opinions on that, and have you got anything to say to Mr. Murphy?
I wasn't happy, and I don't think none of the managers were about it either. I think Danny was perhaps trying his best in his own unique way of trying to raise an issue, but I think he was a bit naive to start naming fellow professionals in the way that he did. What made his comments all the more ironic was that, you know, we played for him. I think it was a couple of weeks previous, and he should have been sent off. He threw the ball into the face of one of our players. It was Ryan Shawcross, and, you know, by Danny's assertions, I can only assume that he was instructed to do that by Hughes. So, you know, you can see just how farcical those comments actually were. What Murphy didn't mention was that Pulis was actually fuming after that challenge, and he actually came out and apologised for that tackle, and he dropped Wilkinson as well. But you know, you can't let facts get in the way of a good argument, can you? And you know, whilst we're physical, you know, I think yes, we are physical, but obviously we are limited technically. And if you look at the, you know, the better teams, you know, it's yourself and Chelsea. Both teams are good technically, but they're also good physically, and you know, they don't shy away from that. And you've had a hell of a lot more success as a result of that than the likes of Arsenal. I think Stoke are a bit of an easy target, and you know, you'll see Wenger praising teams after he's rolled them over and beaten them, but when he loses, he's obviously a bit different.
Like, you've got to play your strength and such things like that. So we'll talk about some of your players. You've been on quite a good run recently, although last weekend you were beaten away to Bolton by a last minute goal, a 92nd minute goal by Kolasinac. Who are the players that maybe United should worry about? Obviously, you've got your famous Rory Delap throw, but I mean, you've got big Kenwyn Jones up there as well. I mean, who should Vidic and Ferdinand and the like be really looking to pinpoint?
David, it all depends on how we approach the game. If we put out a team to actually compete and try and win, then you're looking at the wide man, I'd say. I mean, we've got Matty Etherington on the left. He was player of the season last season. He's having another great season. He's actually got more assists than any other Englishman in the Premier League at the moment. And he's involved in everything that happens. But, you know, that's been a bit of a burden on him last season. So this season we're pretty chuffed down here about the fact that we've got Pennant over on the other side. We've only got him on loan, but, you know, he's finally giving us what Everington gives us on the left over on the right. And we're all just sort of hoping and praying that deal will be made permanent, because he's, you know, he's brought us a bit of class out there, and he really seems to be enjoying himself. And it's nice to see, you know, footballers playing with smiles on their faces. I mean, aside from the wide men, you mentioned Kenwyn Jones. You know, if ever a man was made for Stoke, it's him. And Pulis has finally got his man. He's been chasing him for, I think, about 5 years since we had him on loan all that time ago. And obviously, if Ken wins in, like you say, you've got Rory Delap, and with your nervy back line of late and our narrow pitch, you know, I think you're going to be seeing plenty of rockets coming in from the side, which, you know, if you don't concentrate, could cause some real damage.
And indeed, you are right. We're not playing particularly well at the moment. So would you say this is the perfect time to be playing United, and do you think you can exploit the team?
I think the fans do. One of our main gripes with Pulis is that when we come up against teams like Man United, he tends to set a team up to play the name of Man United and the history of Man United instead of the actual, you know, the individuals that are on the pitch who are, you know, perhaps having a bit of a bad run of form. And my fear is, I hope I'm not right, is that we'll see us line up without Pennant on the right, so we'll just have Everton on the left. And what we'll do is we might even have, you know, three defensive midfielders across the two positions in the middle, and obviously one on the right, you know, with lots of willing runners willing to put their foot in and defend. And if we do that, then basically it's going to be 3 points for you, because that's exactly what we did last time you visited the Britannia. And it was, you know, we were defending so deep and the whole team was so deep, it was embarrassing. Every time a ball came out, I think it was Kitson up front by himself on the day. You know, the ball would just go to him. It would either hit him and he'd not be able to knock it onto anyone else or just miss him completely, and it would just come straight back at us. But you know, all, truth be told, the last few weeks and touch wood this season, we have actually seen, you know, a bit of a different emphasis from the manager, and he's actually starting to play the two wingers together, both home and away. Which was a nice, pleasant surprise. So if we, you know, if we do that, if we start with Pennant on the right-hand side and we play to our ability and, you know, we use the crowd, then, you know, 3 points isn't out of the question.
Looking at your club as a whole, generally, maybe your season expectations, I mean, what do you feel is the priority for Stoke this season? I know Rory Delap's came out and said that it's just survival, just to stay in the Premier League. But, I mean, you've had a good recent run of late and you're sitting quite comfortably in mid-table. So do you maybe think you should be aiming a little bit higher than just survival?
if you know Pulis, he doesn't let anyone get carried away. You know, he won't let his staff get carried away. He won't let his players get carried away. And he certainly won't let the fans get carried away. First priority is always survival. I mean, we've only been up, you know, two seasons, and, you know, we're still changing. I mean, we've had, you know, that said, we've had two good finishes. We finished 12th first season and 11th last season. So I would say that our aim is to perhaps break into the top 10. That's our aim. Obviously, our first priority is staying up, but our aim is to break into the top 10. And, you know, with the likes of Liverpool and Villa having slow starts, it's a possibility. But I think, you know, realistically, I'd be thrilled if we, you know, if we matched or bettered last season. And I think there's also something to be said, not just of the actual league position itself, but in terms of our aims, our approach, like I say, it has changed a little bit this season. And I'd be, you know, I'd be chuffed if we could just continue to play in that way and perhaps even develop it a little bit more. And, you know, that would be just as welcome as a high league finish for me.
Right, you're playing United at the weekend, obviously, and what players in particular are you worried about from United? I mean, you've got Nani's on form. Berbatov, obviously, can show that touch of class when needs be. Who do you think will cause Stoke most problems?
I mean, I remember back to the last time you came down the Brit, and the worst player on the pitch was Nani. He had an absolute nightmare. And he was pulled off after not too long at all. But he's, you know, he seems a different prospect this season. He really stepped up. And almost, sort of, dare I say it, when you watch him, if you sort of squint a bit, he's very similar in style and movement and impact to Ronaldo, and you know, he could be the difference for you. But still, if he's played out wide and, you know, the crowd get on his back and he doesn't like the narrow pitch, then he could struggle again. In terms of where we struggle, we're always wary of overlapping fullbacks, and in Evra, obviously, you've got one of the better ones. And we've been playing Rob Huth at fullback recently, right fullback, and he struggles against immediate pace. He's good once he gets going, but if someone, you know, suddenly starts at him and runs at him, and Evra's he's a quick lad. You know, the sight of him running at Hoot, I think he filled me with fear. But the main man who I'd worry about, and he's the man who ran the show last season, is Paul Scholes. And if he plays, I just hope we get, you know, a bit closer to him than we did last year. Because last year he was just like a quarterback, and he was just spraying passes left, right, and centre. We just stood off him and let him do it. So Paul Scholes, I think, will be the main man if he plays.
And that leads me nicely on to the next question, which is going to take you, James, into maybe the realms of fantasy, so you can pretend you're playing a well-known football manager simulation game. And you're manager of Stoke City. You have more money than Manchester City and Chelsea combined, but you're only allowed to sign players from Manchester United. So which player would you sign and why? And as a special bonus this week, we'll throw in Wayne Rooney for free.
We don't want troublemakers at Stoke. If we could buy one United player, I'll answer based on the player, you know, fitting into our system. I presume this fantasy doesn't suddenly turn us into a, you know, free-flowing footballing side. So based on that, I would honestly say Scholes. We've been crying out for someone in the middle who can just, you know, who can slow the game down, who can speed it up, who can really dictate the play. And I really don't think there are that many better than Scholes. And like I said, the game last year, it was almost like a lesson in midfield. And he was a class apart. So we'll have Scholes, please. And, you know, you can keep Rooney. or maybe not.
Yeah, we don't want to keep him. Just quickly before we let you go, James. Back to Sunday. We'll get a prediction off you, James. What do you think the score will be?
Prediction, okay. Like I said, it all depends on how we line up. I'm going to be Mr. Positive, and I'll say that Pennant starts. So if you see Pennant start, then I reckon it'll be a draw or even a win for us. I really do think, you know, we're playing well at the moment, and if we can do it, and I just hope that Pulis can show a bit more belief in the team and to at least give them the chance to have a go of getting a result, and I really think they can. But like I say, if you don't see Pennant start, it's likely we're going to be protecting the 1 point as opposed to going for the 3. So if that happens, then I think it will be a loss or a draw at the very best for us.
I'll just be happy not to concede a goal. And well, James, thank you very much for coming on the RedCafe.net podcast. It's been fantastic.
No, thank you for having me, David. It's been a pleasure.
Well then, guys, we'll look at the Stoke game ourselves now. Dan, how does Ferguson go about this one? How does he get the team to actually focus on beating Stoke? I mean, it's really, really difficult place to go, isn't it? I keep saying that every week, and it seems to be the case with every away game we have at the moment with the draws we've had. But no, in particular, Stoke, they're obviously going to barricade the box. They're going to throw balls in at Van der Sar, and especially after that error against West Brom as well, he's going to have to be on his game. I mean, how does he tell his team to focus, get their mind completely away from Rooney, and make sure they go out and give a good performance?
Obviously, it'll be very hard. It'll test Ferguson's man management skills to get the best out of his players. There's a lot of experience in that team, though. So hopefully, they've seen it all before. Players like Giggs and Scholes have, definitely. And Van der Sar probably has as well. So you just hope that shines through. But, you know, it'll be a tough game. You know, we were beaten there 2-0 last year. I'm not thinking it'll be that easy because, you know, it's a tough place to go. And they're playing quite well as well at the moment, Stoke. But, like I keep saying every week, if you want to win the league, if you want to be, you know, contenders, then you've got to beat teams like Stoke. I just want to see us play well and not necessarily score a load of goals, but just look like we're a solid team again. I'd take a 1-0 where we look solid and not, you know, breachable, because obviously we've Delap and his long throws and their playing style, which I've no problems with. They could break us down, especially the way we've been defending, you know, especially, you know, on Saturday. Like you said, you know, put a long ball into the box for Van der Sar to come and get, and he might think twice about it, which you don't want.
Dov, I don't think there's any question that Wayne Rooney's going to get near the team, especially this weekend. In terms of a lineup, I mean, would it be Hernandez and Berbatov your front two?
I think he'll actually go with our five in midfield, Steve. I think he'll set it up maybe a bit similar to how he set up against Bursaspor with five, just to make sure that we don't concede, because I think... like I say about the midfield, we just look so weak and easy to breach and easy to get past, especially with Stoke and their sort of physical presence as well. I think he'll go with that extra man in midfield to make sure that we are a bit more solid and maybe try and get a 1-0. But the way the form's gone at the minute, especially away from home, I'd be happy with a 1-0, but I want us to look good in midfield. Like that really is a concern. So I think he'll go with five and have Berbatov up on his own.
Okay, then just really, really quickly then, final note, predictions, scoreline predictions, Dan?
2-1 United.
And Dov?
I think it'll just be one goal, 1-0.
Great stuff. Well, that's just about the end of what's proved a quite extensive episode of the RedCafe.net podcast, but obviously so much to discuss with the Rooney goings-on, and I'm sure there'll be so much more to develop over the next few days too, so... Well, we'll be back next week, of course, to discuss whatever happens with Rooney and whatever happens on the pitch too, of course. And obviously we've got the League Cup game to come against Wolves as well midweek, the week after. So we'll be sure to report on all things that as well. Any questions or comments as well, remember you can email us podcast@redcafe.net. You can also get in touch on the Facebook group too. I've noticed quite a few people did that with their Rooney questions and sort of comments about that, so do make sure you do that too, and we look forward to coming back again next week.